Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Ji Xian Li. I'm here on behalf of petitioners. First of all, I would like to inform the court that the male petitioner in this case has already had his status legalized. His father was granted asylum many years ago, and he filed I-730 petition, that is asylee relative petition. That petition was approved by the CIS on May 9th, 2008, just last month. So therefore, we are no longer pursuing asylum claim as it relates to the male petitioner.
What does that do for Chen?
Okay, Your Honor, I believe that shows that at least the submission, the latest submission by the counsel for the government would not would be irrelevant the matter of JS, but the female petitioner's claim was still because the court's analysis relating to the female petitioner's asylum claim would still be the same.
Okay, I'm sorry, but if he now is withdrawing his claim.
Yes, Your Honor.
And he's here illegally. Does that have any effect on her status?
No, Your Honor.
No.
Because they were not married at the time when they filed asylum, and they are not married as of today. So the female petitioner's asylum claim is still based upon her fear of forced abortion if she goes back to China.
Well, what is there in the record that proves that a pregnant woman returning to China unmarried is going to be forced to have an abortion?
Okay. Yes, sir. If we look at the 270, the page 270 of AR, and it shows that a woman who was deported to China from Australia was forced to abort her pregnancy 10 days before she was due to give birth. And also the country report shows that...
You're talking about the Australia story?
Yes, Your Honor.
But it doesn't say anything about the specific city that Ms. Chen is from, correct?
Well, Your Honor, but if you look at the country condition, it shows that the forced abortion is still being carried out in China. And this is to show a well-founded fear of forced future persecution. Petitioners only need to show one intense chance that she would likely to forced abortion. She doesn't have to establish conclusively that she will be forced to have an abortion. So if we look at the country condition, the general condition in record as a whole, and then I believe the court, a reasonable fact finder, would be compelled to conclude at least there's a 1 in 10 chance that if a pregnancy was not authorized by the Chinese government, the pregnant woman would be forced to abort the pregnancy.
Mr. Lee, I understand this is... question is asking for something that's not in the record, but where do things stand with respect to her now?
Now she's a single mother with two children, and I believe the record is clear that if she goes back to China, she will face the possibility of forced sterilization. Well, Your Honor, what before this court is that whether or not the BIA erred in its decision.
Well, you see, here's the problem. When we remanded for the BIA to give your clients an opportunity to show why the BIA was wrong in its conclusion, which was at the time based upon her being pregnant the first time.
That's right.
Right? So instead of doing that, that is, instead of showing why that was in error, what your clients elected to do was say, well, she's now pregnant again.
Yes, Your Honor.
Right? So, in effect, our mandate wasn't followed at all. She just comes in and says, well, offer some, I suppose, new evidence that she was pregnant again, without a specific request to remand, but I suppose implicitly asking for remand. Is that the way you see
that's
it?
Correct, Your Honor. I think a petitioner was following the course.
What are you now taking the position is error, that the BIA failed to remand to consider the effect of the second pregnancy? What's the error?
That's right, Your Honor. And the BIA in the second decision denied our appeal simply primarily because that in BIA's opinion we failed to argue that the facts noticed by the BIA in its first decision were inaccurate.
Well, and you didn't. What you did was to say, but she's now pregnant the second time.
Yeah,
so never mind the reason for the remand, right?
Actually, the reason for the remand was exactly that in the court's opinion that the BIA ignored the repetitive nature of pregnancy.
So, well, I know we could keep this up for a very long time, presumably, but the real point I'm trying to get is what you're saying the error is that justifies granting the petition today.
Yes, sir. First of all, the BIA should have remanded to the IJ for the petitioner, especially the female, not the female petitioner, to show that she faces well-founded fear of abortion, even though she may not be pregnant at the time when she appears before the IJ, because it's possible that she will get pregnant in the future, because she has already got pregnant twice.
Now, was that because the BIA treats the motion to remand and motion to reopen similarly? Would that have been her first motion to reopen? Is that like a motion to reopen as of right, and would it have been timely, or would it have been outside the 90-day time frame?
I think it would be outside of it would be time barred, Your Honor. Because, and also this is not a change of fundamental change of circumstances in the country,
right,
of the origin. So therefore, she will not be able to allow to have her case reopened.
So why was it error then for the BIA not to remand? What's the legal basis for saying that that was an error?
Yeah, the BIA erred in its first decision that by saying that she did not have a reasonable subjective fear of a forced abortion.
Well, the error that we identified was that the BIA had relied on facts not in the record, not that it had made a wrong decision.
Yeah, that's right, Your Honor. And also, there are two, I think the BIA's denial is based on two reasons. One is that the petitioner was no longer pregnant, and secondly, that we did not present any documentary evidence to show that a pregnant woman would be facing a forced abortion if she is returned to her home country. But that's not true. So based on that alone, as I just pointed out, the Australia newspaper article, just based on that alone, I think it warrants a remand to the BIA, for the BIA to remand the case to the IJ to allow the female petitioner to present her asylum claim upon the fact that now she's a single mother with two children. If she goes back to China, and then she will face possible sterilization, being a single mother with two children.
All right, Mr. Lee, thank you. Why don't we hear from Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Your Honors, Christopher Mayer-Guriel again for the respondent. This petition for review should be denied because petitioner has failed to establish that the record evidence compels a finding that she would have a well-founded fear of persecution if returned to the People's Republic of China. At the outset, regarding Petitioner He's new grant of a derivative asylum status through his father, this came to my attention on Friday for the first time. And I'm still in contact with the client agencies as to how he qualified, because from my reading of the record, they were representing petitioners. He and Chen were representing themselves as husband and wife before. And in fact, on record 81, the immigration judge asked, and is petitioner Chen going to ride with her husband's asylum application? And counsel at that time said, yes, Your Honor. So at this point, I'm a little confused, but regarding that, he's now waived petitioner He's asylum.
Has he withdrawn it, or
I wasn't sure. I thought he said that he wasn't. He was only proceeding on petitioner Chen's asylum.
So has counsel waived male petitioner, or has he?
That I was a little confused on, because he did say withdrawn. But because here petitioner Chen was writing on petitioner He's asylum application. There was only one asylum application in the record,
and she was. The secondary party to his petition.
Yes, the petitioner.
His petition is now problematic, and we don't know whether it's still pending or not.
Well, regarding any derivative asylum status, that's something that extra record evidence that's not before this court. I've learned from regarding this is effect on the termination regarding his removal order. This is something that he'd have to present to the Board of Immigration Appeals to address whether the termination of his removal order. And then there are also questions that if he's during the removal proceedings representing that he is married, but now getting derivative status through his father, where the statute at INA section 208B3(a)-b state that only an unmarried alien over the age of 21 can qualify. So
if he's married, he wouldn't qualify under his father's papers.
Yes, Your Honor, because also section 101B of the INA defines child as an unmarried alien.
Well, they've never claimed to be married except in a common law sense, have they? I mean, in the record, we don't have any record that they ever claimed to be married.
You're right, Your Honor, that they did say that they're the common law marriage, but on the asylum application, he did notice that she is the spouse of him. So I don't know if during the removal proceedings, they were then representing themselves as spouses.
We have 50 different state laws on what constitutes a common law marriage. So,
But regardless,
well, hold that aside. What do we do?
Exactly. Regardless of that, you still have to adjudicate the application. And based on the record evidence, they failed to establish that they have a well-founded fear of sterilization or forced abortion. In fact, there's record evidence that actually points towards the direction that the Board of Immigration Appeals was finding. At records sites 355, 358, and 363, in particular, record site 363 deals with the situation of returning with United States citizen children. At least some couples that have children in the United States beyond the nominal limits and then return to China are at worst given modest fines. So there isn't record evidence compelling the finding that the petitioners would undergo a sterilization or a forced sterilization or forced abortion. It was petitioners' burden, and they were afforded this opportunity by this court to present their claim again. They didn't address the BIA's prior reasoning, and noticeably the judicially noticed fact that petitioner Chen had already given birth.
Mr. McCook, what do you make of our remand? Because the issue of whether the record evidence was sufficient, I guess, was raised before and passed on. And we remanded simply because the BIA took it upon itself to take judicial notice of the fact that she's bound to have not been pregnant anymore. And so we remanded to have that taken into account. So is there a law of the case issue here?
I'm sorry, you're...
Is there any law of the case issue here? I mean, that is it still live for us to decide whether the record evidence as presented was sufficient?
Well, Your Honor, we contend that they, instead on remand, inserted a whole new claim, and that it didn't address the prior reason.
I'm asking just for help on the issue. It looks to me like we in effect said that the record evidence was fine. I mean, we didn't explicitly say that, but we didn't. That's not why we remanded. So are we supposed now to go back to where the appeal was 2 or 3 years ago? Or should we simply say, look, that issue was before us. We didn't have a problem with it. The only problem we had was at the BIA level, where it took judicial notice of the fact that her pregnancy is bound to have been over. And we sent it back for them to deal with that issue, not with the substantiality of the evidence.
I believe petitioners have reopened that by asserting the new claim, by stating that now their child, and additionally adding that they would be forcibly sterilized, which was a new claim. Their first original claim was just forced abortion. So the board did reach on that issue.
Okay, procedurally, to me, this is just a mess. And I guess that's what I'm trying to look to you for help on. What do you think is before us? Because we're not in the first instance court. We remanded for a specific reason, and then something happened back there with respect to that remand, and now it's on appeal again. Exactly what does the government think we need to decide?
I would say that there are two issues. One, that the previous claim regarding the judicially noticed fact was abandoned, and that because petitioners have introduced an entirely new claim, that the board's on the second page of the board's decision, where it says there's no documentary evidence to support that their current claim, which is a returning PRC nationals returning with a pregnancy and a United States born child, that this record there was no documentary evidence to support that.
But nobody's made that decision. So what the board decided was that it wouldn't remand, right?
Yes, Your Honor, yes.
So is that the legal error? I mean, you're...
Yes, Your Honor, that they didn't introduce the new documentary evidence to compel that, to warrant remand.
So is that the issue before us, or is it something else?
Yeah, Your Honor, yes, it would be the lack of documentary evidence that they submitted with their motion, because all they did was cite to previous record evidence.
And the standard for reviewing the denial of a motion to remand, what is that?
That would be an abuse of discretion standard, Your Honor.
And what is the legal requirement for the BIA to remand? Do they have any legal requirement or regulatory requirement?
It would be under the same standard of a motion to reopen. I believe Matter Coelho sets out the standards, whether they're prima facie eligible for relief. And it would be looking for new and material evidence. And the only evidence that they submitted was that she's pregnant now with a second pregnancy, and in addition cited to record evidence or evidence that was already in the record.
Well, okay, then address that, if you will. If she's presented evidence that she's now pregnant with a second child, the U.S. citizen child, and there's evidence in the record already that her province, unexceptionally, I mean, in all cases, insists on sterilization of people who have two children without permission, why shouldn't the BIA have remanded to develop the record on the issue?
I believe, Your Honor, that the BIA was looking at the record and
I'm sure they were, but so have I been. So there's evidence in the record. Forget the Australian newspaper article, all right? There's evidence in the record that the province from which Chen comes has a policy. I'm trying to find the exact language. Has a policy that women giving birth to two children shall unexceptionally be sterilized. Now, that's in the record. So that plus she's now pregnant with and going to have a second child. Why didn't the BIA abuse its discretion in failing to remand to develop the evidence on that?
Your Honor, I believe the BIA has found that there was a data fill that was documentary evidence.
Hey, look, I'm asking you now why the BIA would not have abused its discretion in making that decision in light of the two things I mentioned. Forget all the rest of it.
Regarding their abuse of discretion, the only thing I could think of is that they felt that the record evidence that they pointed to did not establish a prima facie eligibility.
Okay. Any other questions here?
Well, what was that evidence that in this province that there were unauthorized having more than or having any unauthorized children and causes a woman to be sterilized? But is that in the country report or is it?
It's a birth control policy of the I don't know how to pronounce it.
Fujian province.
And how does that appear in the record from? An exhibit or
it's an exhibit in the record.
Okay. Well, why shouldn't that go back to the IJ to determine whether it's true or not?
The only thing I can say is the BIA might have been under the impression that there's no evidence that they feel prima facie evidence regarding United States born children that would subject a PRC national to sterilization because of a United States born child.
Okay, anything else? All right, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Lee.
Yes, Your Honor. I think I'm able to answer the question just raised by the court. And looking at the page 236, and it says that all women with two children shall, without exception, be sterilized within 1 month after their second child is born. And also, looking at the statistics from...
Could I just ask you, I'm looking at page 236. It refers to all those who marry early and give birth early.
Yes,
what does marry early and give birth early mean?
Oh, okay. In China, they have a birth control policy that stipulates that a woman can only get married after she reaches the age of 20. So if a woman marries before age of 20, that will be considered, and give birth before the age of 20, that will be considered as an early marriage.
So is Ms. Chen, is she fall into that category? Marry early and give birth early?
She doesn't qualify under that category, but in any event, her birth, her marriage was also unauthorized because she was not able to get the marriage certificate. In China, if you can only give birth if you obtain a permit to give birth. So without a marriage license, you will not be able to get to obtain a permit to give birth. So in that sense, I think the female petitioner will fall under the same category because the marriage was unauthorized. And also, just one other thing I want to point out, Your Honors, is the statistics. And on page 235, it says there's a statistic from the same province the female petitioner was from, and it said Of the 71,801 women with second children, 94.20% were sterilized. So again, I just want to point out that to establish well-founded fear, we only need to show one in 10 chance. So even though, over here, the statistic shows over 90% of women with two children were sterilized. So. If we take into account of this statistic, the female petitioner will clearly be easily able to show that she would face a well-founded fear of forced sterilization upon her return to her home country.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Thank you, Mr. Friel. The matter just argued will be submitted.